have like my white handheld mic. I know y'all just trying to keep me locked to the podium, but like, who is there? Is there any roaming mic? Can I walk anywhere? Can I go anywhere just from this? I feel so strained here. At any rate, it's all good. Okay, thank you, Mark. So now I can move around a little bit. I'm not going to be very long. Just a couple little points I want to leave with you that I think will be a blessing. So Acts 16:17, the King James Version says, "The same followed Paul and us and cried, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.'" So let me just give you a little background just for a second. So Paul and Silas are in this city called Philippi. It's part of the Roman Empire. They're on a missionary journey. They're evangelizing. And they run into this girl who's under the employment of these men that are using her as a soothsayer. They're using her as a fortune teller. She is possessed by demons, and these men are using the devil, the demonic powers in her, by the way, which are supernatural. Never underestimate the enemy. Never underestimate the devil. Don't play with him. Don't be saying, you know, if you haven't been called by the Lord to cast out demons and spirits, stay away. Don't just go looking for some person that you think is demon possessed and start saying, "Come out in the name of Jesus." That's dangerous if the Lord isn't directing you to do that and you aren't full of the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't dabble in exorcisms and demon exorcising and people that are demon possessed, people that are working in the occult or in some sort of satanic operations. Stay away unless God is leading you to do something. Amen. People have gotten killed for less. This demonic powers are nothing to play with. So even, and I want to show you that, even in this passage, Paul and Silas exercised great restraint. They didn't just go and take out the demons in this girl right away. The Bible says that this girl basically was trolling them for days, really trying to just get in their heads, get under their skin. The Bible says here that she just kept doing this for several days. Actually, the actual verse for that is I don't have it in front of me. It's earlier down in 16. Does someone see it? I don't have my Bible open to that passage right now because I want to show you something else. But at any rate, it says that the girl did this for days. Finally, Paul got fed up with her, and I just think that is important that I read it. You can go down to verse. Yeah, thank you. So. The Bible says that she did this for many days, verse 18, but Paul being grieved, the King James Version says grieved. There's another version that says, what's that? He was exasperated. He was annoyed. He was upset. He just had had enough. That's why I said to you that even Paul exercised restraint. He didn't just go off on her day one and just say, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, get out of here," or "I cast you out," or whatever. He didn't, he gave her some leeway. The Bible says that she did this for several days, for many days in the King James Version. And Paul, being grieved, being exasperated, being upset, turned and said to the Spirit, lowercase s, notice, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And this spirit, this evil spirit or spirits, it could have been legions, it could have been many, came out of her within the same hour. Why did I bring that up? I brought that up because in verse 17 of Acts 16, it says what these demons, the spirit-possessed girl, was saying. And she was saying that these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. She was actually telling the truth. The devil can quote scripture. The devil can tell the truth. People that are possessed by spirits or unsaved sometimes can say things that are accurate and true. And this was true. That was what their mission was. Matter of fact, I read here in James 2:19 that the Bible says that the devils, plural, that suggests demons, not only do they believe that Jesus is God, not only do they believe in the power of God, the Bible says in James 2:19 that they even tremble. They even tremble. They know who God is. They know who the Spirit of God is. They understand the power of God. So I would say to you, be careful in dealing with people that are involved in the occult or witchcraft or demonism or necromancy or any other type of spirit involved or motivated activity. Be careful. Make sure you know what you're doing. Make sure you're prayed up. Make sure you're in a position to confront said person. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew 4 that when the devil came to Jesus, he fought the devil with the word of God. That's what he did. He quoted scripture, Matthew 4. If you look at 4, 1 through 11, you don't have to read it now. But Jesus' responses on all three occasions was, "It is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." It is written. It is written. All of Jesus' response was quoting the word of God. In this particular case, he was quoting Deuteronomy. And because the devil made some statement that, hey, why don't you bow down or why don't you cast yourself down and do such and such, and the Lord will send his angels to give you protection. He won't let anything bad happen to you, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. But the Lord gave him a response, because the Lord was saying to the devil that in spite of the fact that you might be quoting scripture, the scripture that you're quoting does not apply in this case. And not only that, he didn't even include all of it. He left some things out. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, they left some things out when Satan said, you know, has the Lord said you can't eat of the tree? Well, they added, well, we can't, not only can we eat from it, we can't even touch it. So they were adding to what the Lord actually said back in Genesis 2:17. So here's my point in that. We have to be careful that we know the word so that when the enemy comes, we can use the word against him. Amen? That's our number one defense. Our sword, our word, is how we defend ourselves against the enemy. Whether he's trying to bring us down with depression or sorrow or anger or unforgiveness or some type of assault that he's making on us, our defense is to confer with the word of God. We talked about this in Sunday school. Sometimes when you're going through a situation, the last thing on your mind is to pray. The last thing on your mind is to read the word. It should be our first defense. It should be our go-to position. You all with me? Amen. It should be our go-to position. Don't ever think that the Bible is irrelevant or not pertinent to what's going on in 2024 because it was written thousands of years ago. It is not obsolete. It is not irrelevant. It is not out of date. God's word is pertinent today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Amen? Always make it our go-to position. Always make it our first response. Lord, I come to your word. I'm in trouble here. Things aren't going well in school. Things aren't going well with my grades, with my teachers, with my professors. Things aren't going well on the job, with my boss, my coworker. I don't know. Yeah, Justin is on. Justin had a situation at work this week. And just the Lord just worked things out. And I believe that the Lord will work things out for all of us when we have situations, whether it's a domestic situation, whether it's a marital situation, whether it's a children's situation. It could be a sibling issue. It could be a spousal issue. It could be a financial issue. It could be a health issue. God is always intimately involved in every part of our lives. Don't think that he dismisses stuff that you may feel is unimportant or small. God is interested. It's important to him. If it's important to you, it's important to him. Amen? Amen. So let me wrap this up. Let me wrap this up with my point. These guys are in prison, and I've told you the backstory already, how they were beaten and how they were dragged through the city, thrown in jail, put in stocks. So now they're praying at midnight, according to Acts 16, 25. Let me just say this to you. Your go-to response in trouble should always be prayer and praise. It should always be finding a way to give God glory, finding a way to give God praise for what's going on, because it wasn't by accident. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. And the prisoners heard them. I mentioned that to you. That's going to be important here as we get on in the next week or so, that they prayed and the prisoners heard them. Let me just say this really quickly in passing, then I'll make my last point. People are watching you. They're watching us. They're watching people who claim to name the name of Christ. They're watching us. You may not know it. You may not see it. You may not sense it. You may not feel it. But people are watching us. They want to know if we really believe what we say we believe. They want to know if we're authentic. Please, please know that. Know that your witness, your light, your lamp is critical. People are watching us. They want to know how we respond in crises, how we respond in conflict, how we respond when things are down, when chips are falling the wrong way, when problems are mounting up. They are watching us. Be strong. Be not weary in well-doing. God has us. We're going to see our way through this with his help. We're going to make it to the other side. Amen? Don't be discouraged. I know the enemy tries to overwhelm us in this day with so much bad news. I love what Coach says about watching the evening news. I just avoid it like the plague. I try to avoid all local news unless this stuff that comes up in my feed or on my phone or what I might see through or hear through a podcast or whatever. But I try to fill my mind with the word of the Lord. I try to encourage myself as David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you cannot depend upon outside noise and interference to be your source of information. You have to find a way to go deep and dig deep and make sure you have a source of encouragement, of joy, a source where you can pick yourself up in a world that's all bad news, all horrible stuff. You have to find a well that you can go to that says, I'm not going to be inundated by what I hear on social media, what I hear on TV, what I hear on news, what I read in the paper. I'm not going to be overwhelmed by that, because I still know that God is in control. God is still on the throne. Don't throw in the towel. Don't believe everything you hear, because your eyes can deceive you. Your ears can lie to you. I love what Isaiah said. Whose report will you believe? Amen. I'm not going to believe that it is as bad as the world says it is, because I know God still controls the world. I know. It's hard sometimes, but he still is in control. Amen. Don't be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. In conclusion, Acts 16, we're back in Acts 16. Bible says, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. By the way, just learned this yesterday. During the pandemic, I read a statistic that was just very alarming. It said that 22% of young people under the age of 30 contemplated suicide during the 3 years of the pandemic. That's like 2 out of every 10 young people you meet considered suicide. It is so high. It is so strong. This guy was ready to commit suicide. Now, he may have had his reasons. He may have had his reasons. It was either I commit suicide tonight or I be executed tomorrow. Pick your poison. Maybe he just chose, I'd rather die on my own terms. I'd rather die at my own hands. But he was about to commit suicide, a problem that is much more prevalent today. people contemplating suicide as a means of dealing with or coping with life. Don't just pray for our young people. Pray for old people also. Old people think about it too. I know Dr. Jack Kevorkian is dead, but euthanasia is not. People still think about suicide at old age, especially if they've been given a bad diagnosis, or they feel lonely, or they feel isolated. The pandemic did a lot to accentuate the isolation issues that we find in this country, in this world, where people feel like they have no recourse, they have no one to go to, they have no friends, no confidants. So they contemplate suicide. Very serious problem. And this lesson is so timely because this man was on the verge of committing suicide and would have done so if a believer, if a saint, if a Christian wouldn't have yelled out, "Hey, stop! Do thyself no harm. Don't do it. Don't pull the trigger. Don't fall on your sword. Don't take the pills. Don't jump off the bridge. Don't do it. There is hope. Jesus is hope. Jesus is life. Jesus is the solution. It's our job to let the world know the way Paul said, dude, don't do it. We're all here. And he qualified it with that because basically the penalty for letting even one prisoner go was death. Be encouraged. I'm going to stop because I said I was going to stop. I still got 3 pages of notes to go. Y'all say, you have to share that with Sister Marie because I'm we tired right now, Pastor Will. You know, but I will finish it next week, Lord willing. But I just want you to be encouraged by Paul and Silas's testimony. The fact that the people believed him in them enough that they wouldn't book when the doors opened and the chains fell off. Paul and Silas's integrity was transferred to these men, where they stayed in place, where they didn't do a jailbreak, where they didn't run for the nearest exit, where they didn't mutiny and say, "Paul, I love you, you're a cool dude, but I'm out. This earthquake was no accident. I've been praying for a release." No, Paul and Silas stayed, the men stayed, God received the glory, and our family was saved. And who else knows? After the Philippians, we don't know his name, but who else was saved as a result of this family's conversion? I'll deal with that in weeks to come. Great lesson. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be aware of people around you suffering from mental health issues or depression or oppression, isolation, loneliness. Be aware. Be sensitive to people around you that could be going through something that could be life-threatening. Be sensitive to people around you that seem like they have no one to confide in or no one to talk to. Be sensitive to people that are hurting, grieving, suffering. Be sensitive to that because we're being watched. Use your bully pulpit. Use your power, your Holy Spirit, to the glory of God. Reach out and help. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'll just stop. Lord, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for this message, partial message, part message. We thank you for this service, Lord. May you be glorified today. May your people be edified. Teach us, help us, build us, strengthen us, encourage us, deliver us, save us. And we are so grateful and so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Any